Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of brew. I got my cup in the cup holder because the noise that you hear in the background is me driving down to my cousin's house. We are doing a road trip this morning. From central Illinois down to somewhere in Arkansas. I have no clue where we're going. I'm just riding shotgun, and he's the one driving. He's got the address, but we are heading down to pick up a piece of equipment and bring it back. And so he gave me a call saying, "Hey, you want to ride along?" And I said, "Let me check with the wife." And the wife said, "Yeah, you can go. I think it'll be fun for you." So I said, "I think it'll be fun too." So I am heading down to his house at 2:45 in the morning. And we are hoping to leave in about 45 minutes. And we'll be back later today. And as I drive, it is dark. And there is a thunderstorm off to my right that I'm keeping tabs on. I want to get, it's not very far away. It's just a few short miles, less than 10 for the lightning. But I'd prefer not to have to drive in rain in the middle of the night. But hey, got my coffee, and I've got you good friends out there who are listening with me. Hopefully at a decent time for waking up. Waking up at 2:20 in the morning is indecent. And of course, I was worried about the alarm not going off. I was worried about sleeping through the alarm. And so I did not sleep well up to 2:30. So again, I'm glad I'm not driving this morning. I'm glad my cousin is. So anyway, we are going to continue with the series based on the book The Triumphant Marriage by Neil Clark Warren. And if you don't have this book, I strongly encourage you to get it. You know, it's been out of print for years, but there's places where you can get it. I believe it's still available at eharmony.com's website. You can find used copies. You may be able to find some new copies at Amazon. It also, there's a, as I said last time, this was the original title in 1995. A couple of years later, he re-released it. The exact same book, word for word. It just has a different title, which is Learning to Live with the Love of Your Life and Loving It. As I said last time, I don't like his new title. Triumphant Marriage worked good for me. So anyway, secret, we're going to be working through 10 secrets. And I guess if you missed last episode and you're just picking it up this one, just as a quick synopsis, years ago, Neil Clark Warren did an interesting research study. He had 100 couples recommended to him by other couples as being the kind of marital couple that these referring people wanted to have. They had long-term success that other people envied. And so he interviewed them. He interviewed 100 couples and then took what they had suggested as their secrets to having a long, healthy, strong, you know, marriage. And he took the top 10 and he based a chapter on each of those. So we are on number two, secret number two, which is get tough. A triumphant marriage requires two strong, skilled, thoroughly committed partners. Let me say that again. A triumphant marriage requires two strong, skilled, thoroughly committed partners. And I couldn't agree more. So many people get into marriage or, you know, nowadays it seems like people are just living together, and they do it because they fell in love. They do it because they like the other person. They do it because they feel like the other person completes them. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with those. Not at all. But if that's all you bring to the table as a couple or as individuals to a marriage, that's not enough. That's like saying, you know, hey, I want to have a nice big breakfast, but the only thing I'm going to contribute to this big, you know, breakfast is the butter for the bread, because I love fresh butter. That's not a breakfast. It requires two strong, skillful, and thoroughly committed partners. So let's break that down, and I'm going to start with actually the t-shirt that I'm wearing today. As I was laying out some clothes last night, because I didn't want to have to turn on the light and hunt for clothes and while my wife is trying to sleep, the shirt that I grabbed says United States Marines grandfather or grandparent, something like that. And I've said on the podcast before, I talked about my grandson Josh graduating from Marine boot camp last month. And I think that, you know, that's a good example that we should use and think about when it comes to marriage. What's the purpose of Marine boot camp? Or I've got another grandson that's in the Navy, Navy boot camp. Or my dad went into the Army, Army boot camp. Air Force has theirs. I don't know about the Coast Guard. I don't know about Space Force, but I do know those other three branches to a degree. And so, what's the purpose of boot camp? It's to get the recruit or the new, you know, member of the armed services to get them very quickly indoctrinated. One of them is to get them indoctrinated into the armed services, and more specifically, which branch that they're in. That it gets them trained in the basics. That's why it's called basic training or boot camp. But that get them trained in the basics that they need to have as a foundation for having a successful career in the military. And because the military isn't just about career, it's about being prepared to go to war, being skilled in the basics of warfare. In the Marines, they have a little slogan, I'm not sure if slogan's the right term, but it is every Marine a rifleman, every Marine an infantryman, every Marine, regardless of what you signed up to go into, whether you have signed up to learn how to be a mechanic or a medic or what have you, every single one is trained to be an infantryman, to be a rifleman. So when you think about marriage, you, in this particular secret, you got to think about the idea of, you could say, marital boot camp. You need to think about, what does it take to be strong for your marriage? I mean, my grandson, he doesn't quite look the same. He has gone through physical training to, you know, doing PT to the point where he gained like 20, 25 pounds. and it's muscle mass. It is being skillful. He can disassemble and assemble his rifle blindfolded. Not that, you know, you're getting anytime you clean your rifle. Whoops, I forgot my blindfold. I better have it on. No, they do that so that in a worst case scenario, and you've got a muddied up rifle that's not shooting and it's in the middle of the night, you can take care of it. Well, the, you know, there's other skills. He's going to be going back to learn specific skills that will help him do the job that he, you know, committed to do in the military. So you've got to be strong. You've got to be skilled. And they require a commitment. Now, for him, he signed up for 8 years. 6 active duty and 2 in reserve. When you think about a marriage, there's a time period. If you use a traditional wedding vows, it's till death do us part. It's for a lifetime, and hopefully a long lifetime for both of you, and then the marriage would be for a lifetime. Josh can't just get out of his military contract. I mean, it's he can't just wake up one day and say, "Eh, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I quit?" Yeah. No. And that isn't how marriage should be. Marriage is tough. That's why you need to be strong. If you think it's all just a cream puff, and if you're out there listening to me and you're married or you've been married, you know it's not a cakewalk. It's not something super easy to do. It requires strong individuals. It requires skillful individuals. What are the skills that you need to have for a successful marriage? Most people, whenever you ask them that question, the first thing that pops to their mind is communications. Communications is very, very important. You have two people. Here's how I would describe it in counseling. You've got two sinful people in close proximity for a long time. And that means there's going to be fireworks because you run into circumstances where one wants to do it one way, one wants to do it the other way, and they may not be compatible. They may not work. You know, both ideas may not work. So you better have good means of communications. So, you know, how would you rate your communication skills? You know, you may have good communication skills as a couple, or it may be one has good communication skills, the other doesn't. Or neither one of you do. But you better become skillful at it to have better success. You know, a lot of times opposites attract. That's just an interesting thing, whether it's for friendships or whether it's for, you know, relationships and marriages. A lot of times opposites attract. But opposites won't keep you together. Compatibility does. And if you don't have a lot of compatibility, then what do you do? You know, there's different skills and things that can help you become more compatible and to be able to compromise. That's another important skill, being able to compromise. Compromise doesn't mean giving in all the time, where one person's always giving in, the other one always gets their way. That's not good, because that's going to build resentment. Forgiveness is an important skill. You know, when I think about forgiveness, I often go back to this one couple that I worked with, and I primarily just worked with the wife. And she had a lot of anger. And she was talking about things that her husband had done years and years before. And she was describing it as if it was just happened that day. And so I asked her, you know, well, how do you do on forgiveness? And she just glared at me and said, do you think I haven't forgiven him? You know, as a counselor in that moment, you're not always sure what's the right answer to give back. And so I said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, how do you do unforgiveness? And she turned her head away from me for a few seconds and then whipped it back and said, well, I tolerate him, don't I? Well, tolerating is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you give up the right to retaliation for the sake of something greater. Maybe that greater is to restore the relationship or to keep it healthy. But it's giving up the right to retaliation and keeping a notebook with every offense so that you can throw it back at him at the appropriate time. That's not forgiveness. And unforgiveness sours into bitterness. And it's probably one of the most destructive forces I've ever seen in relationships, in families, in marriages, is unforgiveness. That's why I'm a big supporter and big proponent of forgiveness. And it isn't always easy, but it's a skill. So you have to be strong, and you have to be skillful. But most importantly on this short list is you have to be committed. You have to be committed to the marital relationship. You know, whenever I had couples come in, I would on a first session, I'd be evaluating, because again, that's what you do as a counselor, you do evaluation. But I was evaluating on some of the most important parts of marriage. And the one thing that I always evaluated, always, was commitment. You see, if every other aspect of a person or of a couple's, you know, marital life is screwed up, but they still have a commitment to the marriage to see it through to restoration, then I can take a breath and see, you know, and start developing a more comprehensive plan, and I've got time to work with them. We can fix some of the easier things so they can develop confidence and then work on the harder things. But if their commitment is low or non-existent, then it's kind of like I'm a doctor in an ER. And what I've got is I hear code blue. And that means the person is having cardiac arrest. That means they're leaving. They are dying. And I've got seconds, maybe minutes, to act in such a way to get their blood pumping through CPR, through electric shocks to try to jumpstart the heart. Well, that's kind of like what it is when you're a therapist and the couple you're working with has very low or no commitment. Because if they don't have commitment, a little bitty thing is going to have one or both of them throwing in the towel. And so commitment is a mental decision to a type of relationship for a length of time. You know, years ago, and I imagine many of you, if you're from my generation, you did the Columbia House Record and Tape Club, where you, for just one penny, you would get, you know, 3 or 5 or 7 albums for free, for just that one penny, as long as you agreed to buy 3 more or 5 more at regular club prices. Well, the thing is, they never told you what the regular club prices were, and they were about twice the price of buying the album in the department store. But you had an agreement. I give you a penny, you give me the albums, and then I would buy the additional albums at regular club prices. And there was a time frame in there. It was like you had to do it within 2 years. Well, marriage, if you think again, like I talked about last time, the traditional wedding vows, to love, honor, cherish during the times of, you know, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's kind of like the terms of the agreement. And then for how long? Till death do us part. Years ago, there was a church body, one of the larger denominations here in the United States, that began going through an internal culture war. And they're still kind of going through it. And sadly, in my opinion, it's not going in a good way. But different pastors, when they did weddings, started changing the wedding vows. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem if someone wants to write their own wedding vows, but let's let them be wedding vows and not something goofy. If you want something love and sappy, I don't have a problem with it, but those aren't wedding vows. But what some of the pastors were doing was changing the last part from "till death do us part" to "until love dies." Well, what the heck does that mean? Till I stop feeling the same way about you as I did before, and then we can end the marriage? I'd rather have the couple sign, do like my grandson, you know, let's sign up for a 5-year lease with an option for renewal. You know, having something like that sounds better than till love dies. Because guess what? There's time periods in every marriage where you don't feel love like you first did. And I would say that's in every single cotton picking, chicken plucking marriage. You're not going to feel love the same way you did when you were dating, when you were engaged, when you were first married. Because there's still a lot of excitement and fun and infatuation that's a part of it. And those things aren't love. We term them love. To me, my definition of love, if you want to see what love is somebody who's holding back. It's a guy holding back his wife's hair as she's throwing up in the toilet because she's sicker than a dog. You know what? That's love. That's not like. That's not infatuation. That's love. And so, if you've got a commitment, that's vitally important. If you don't have that commitment, what does it take to get you to have it? Because you need to make it stronger. I remember one couple, and this will be the last story, and then I'll wrap up. But it was a young couple. They had a couple of kids. And I'd been working with them. And I thought their commitment was stronger, but something happened. There was this, you know, like the straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't a very big thing, but something happened. And that was it. The wife said she was done. And it's like, wait, we've been making some good, you know, work, some good progress. Why is it done? Well, they each had a very different definition of commitment. The husband was very upset that his wife was throwing in the towel, because he had an example of his parents who he said didn't have the best relationship, but they were committed and they had been married for many decades. The wife, she came from a family where there was not a commitment to marriage. Her parents were divorced. Her older siblings were divorced. All, basically everybody in the family, aunts, uncles, older cousins, they had all been divorced. She could not point out one person that she had direct relationship with in her family that had a long-term marriage. The standard that she was raised with was, when a marriage gets too hard, when you've been hurt too much, just quit. Just quit. And it really saddened me that day. I liked this couple. They had a lot of very good quality traits. They did have some good skills. They did appear strong, but they didn't have commitment. Commitment is a mental decision to a type of relationship for a specific length of time. Think about your wedding vows. Think about how you want your marriage. If you're not married yet, talk about how you want your marriage. Not just the fluffy icing and the decorations on the cake, but the quality of the cake and the structure of the cake. Because that's what you need. All right. That will be it for today. I am almost to my cousin's house. And let me pull up on the screen what I need to turn this podcast off and not get in a wreck. All right, you guys have a great day. Enjoy your coffee. And we will talk to you next time with another installment of this book, The Triumphant Marriage. Have a great one, everybody. Take care. God bless.